Hey, Preppers and Patriots, I got a big announcement today. My epic saga about an EMP attack in America is now available as a complete box set. EMP Survival Box Set 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt is now available for Kindle. And as always, I'm hosting a giveaway to celebrate the release. And for the first time ever, I'm giving away gold. That's right, I'm giving away gold. And I'm also giving away some high-end essential survival gear. Here's the details for the giveaway. One first prize winner will win an almost uncirculated 1930 Swiss 20-franc gold coin. This coin contains almost a fifth ounce of gold, and it's currently valued right around $300. The first prize winner will also receive an autographed copy of Behold Darkness and Sorrow. That's the first book in the Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt series. The second prize winner will win an individual first aid kit. It's going to be stocked with a Israeli battle dressing, two packs of quick clot, a TK4 tourniquet, a combat application tourniquet, EMT shears, gauze, bandages. That's all going to come in a nice ACU Molly compatible case. The second prize winner is also going to get a autographed copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. Third prize winner is going to win a Baofeng handheld ham radio. So even if you're not licensed, you can use that to monitor the hams in your area. And in a emergency situation, you can use it even though you're not licensed. But it's maybe it's a great stepping stone. You can get that. You can listen in for a little while. Maybe it'll be the thing that encourages you to get your license. But it's a good thing to have around anyway. Third prize winner is also going to get a Columbia River Knife and Tool M16 rescue knife. It's got a glass breaker and a seatbelt cutter on it. That's the everyday carry knife that I keep in my pocket. I absolutely love it, and it's very, very high quality gear. The third prize winner is going to get a autographed copy of The Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. So first, second, third prize, everybody gets a autographed copy of the first book in that series. And to win, you leave a review for EMP Survival Box Set, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt on Amazon.com, and then you send me an email and you include your Amazon screen name in the body of the email. And for the subject, you put EMP Box Giveaway and you send that to PrepperRecon@gmail.com. The drawing is going to be held Friday, February 16th, and the winner's Amazon screen name will be posted on PrepperRecon.com to announce that they've won it. And the winners will also be notified via email. And once again, sorry, this contest is only open to U.S. residents. So Godspeed in the drawing. Thanks for listening. And now for today's show. You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with John Theo. Enjoy the show. The reminders that we live in a dangerous world are nonstop. Lately, we've had the California wildfires. We talked about them earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And they gave way to torrential rains, which caused massive mudslides, which have killed several people. I think the last count that I saw was something like 17, but I know that there were still so many people missing that number's bound to keep going up. There's massive amounts of mud and debris to remove. And I'm sure that they'll be finding bodies probably 6 months from now in that kind of a mess. I guess the obvious lesson from that disaster, other than, you know, not being near something that people would call Babylon, is that, you know, if you live in a place that's been burned out by fire, You should be very, very aware of the weather and your surroundings if you live on a sloped area where something right. like that can happen, because once that fauna is gone, there's nothing to drink up the water, and it'll just wash the mud straight down the hill that's been there for years and years and years because it's had plant life holding it in right. place, the roots of those plants holding it in place. And once they're burned out and gone, now it's just basically, it's like a snow avalanche. It's just waiting for a catalyst to come. So can you think of some other lessons that we could learn from the California wildfires and the floods and the mudslides out there?
Well, I think just California in general, what I think about with California is population density. I mean, it's just, if I was out there, I'd be drastically trying to find a way to get out of there. I mean, so that is, you know, the population density compounds every problem you just mentioned. On top of the fact they're doing forced vaccinations and, you know, it's hyper liberal, it's becoming a socialist state, all that's even just more incentive to get out. But yeah, it's like a powder keg out there. And don't forget that, yeah, the earthquakes. I mean, people are saying the big one's coming. It's just, you wouldn't want, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful state, but coastal California, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near it. I think part of the reason why we came down here is it's just country and there's just land and it's not dense and you have relatively moderate weather. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't always think like, oh, what happens if the grid goes down, the world ends. But, you know, if I was coming to this planet for the first time and I'm trying to find a place to land in the United States, this is pretty moderate. And this would be one of the places I would consider. And I'm sure the redoubt areas are the same way. They're moderate climates and their population density and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near California right now. And I really have a lot of respect for Christians that are out there. I know, like, Ray Comfort and living his ministries out there. And they're preaching in, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's just not my calling. I felt that way back in Massachusetts. It's gone so liberal. And I was partnering with someone that was part of Campus Crusade who was trying to get onto the college I was working at, and they were giving her a hard time. And I just saw the fire in her eyes, and I just didn't have it. And I came to Christ later in life, and I think my calling is more to warn the church and to that's more my ministry, like to wake the church up and to so I kind of feel like I fell back to a friendly area where there's more Christians and there's more conservative and there's more freedoms. And I feel like my role, unlike this girl's role up in Massachusetts, is to warn the church down here. And someone said to me a week ago, a lot of people come down here, a lot of Yankees come down here and think they can change things. I'm like, and I cut them off. I said, I'm here to tell you not to change. You guys have freedom. You guys have low taxes. You guys, you know, it's Christianity has still permeated the culture down here. Don't change a thing. I'm here to be a cheerleader and tell you guys, stay the course, because I know it's coming. It's at the front lines. It's at the gates. The gates being, you know, D.C. So you have Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, D.C. Like, those are all hyper liberal, and I know it's coming south. And I'm like here, to, you know, back in friendly territory, but I need to warn people it's coming. And you can see it with some of the elections in Virginia as well. But Virginia, unlike Massachusetts, has a balanced budget amendment. They got a lot of fail safes in place. So it's just nice to know that there's still freedom in certain parts of the country. Whether or not that'll last, we'll see. I have a theory that if this country falls to socialism, totalitarianism, I have this theory that Texas will be the last man standing, and then that'll be the last one to fall if it happens. But that's just my theory.
Wow, we'll see, because they are really pushing the limits of becoming a purple state because of the unmitigated inflow they've had from the border. Yeah. And like you said, the population boom in Texas and the people that are wanting to get away from that and to get away from the – and I think they're going to see a lot more of it after the tax law, because they got a much lower – I don't know if they have no state tax – if they have no state income tax, or they have a much, whatever it is, it's much, much lower than California's. California's is one of the highest in the state, if not the highest. So I'm sure they're going to get a much larger inflow. And the research I've been doing for the book I'm working on right now, all of the big cities in Texas are way over the line, predominantly liberal.
I know Austin is. Austin
and Houston
liberal.
And Dallas. Yeah. In every single one of them. And
so you very well could be right. You very well could be right. The other thing they have going against them, too, is they don't have state tax, but they do have a high property tax, which to me is, I think that's a real tie to freedom. I did a whole video on my YouTube channel about property, life, liberty, and in the pursuit of private property, which was what Jefferson originally wrote. Mm-hmm. And private property and freedom is tied so close together. And I think that is one thing they have working against them. Virginia has a low property tax, at least in the area I'm in. And I think that promotes freedom. And it, up north, it's not a big deal to have a property tax of $8,000 to $10,000 with 1 acre of land and a 2,000 square foot house. It's insane. You don't own your properties up north, which was another reason why I left. It's really becoming socialized, and you don't get anything for your tax dollars up there. You literally have to pay $20 a week for extra trash bags to put your trash out. You can't do. You have to pay extra for public schools, for sports and music. It's like, the property taxes are crazy, and the taxes in general up north are crazy.
So. You said you were talking about the big one that's coming to California. The day we're recording this, they just had a huge tsunami warning after a 7.8 magnitude along that ring of fire up
right,
near
Alaska.
the Alaskan coast. They had some video footage of just basically a line of cars trying to get out of Halifax, and it was just a parking lot, and these people were not moving. We never know when that's going to come. And then, so it's California. You've got everybody along the Oregon and Washington coast to the Cascadia zone there, which same thing. They're expecting the big one any day. They say it's been overdue for years and years. So that everybody up there has got to watch out. I guess from what I saw on the news today, looking at all those people trying to get out and everybody stuck in gridlock, I think that the key takeaway from that is that you need to have your bug out bag packed, because the people that left 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes after that warning was issued, those people got out.
Yeah.
The people that left 15 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes after that was issued, they're just sitting in their car waiting for a wave.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you'd be better off in the house.
Yeah. And the other important thing is having enough gas. I think I was listening to your podcast a few weeks ago when you were talking about the exodus out of Florida with your team, and because of the hurricane, and I thought you said you didn't have to stop for gas, or you had extra gas cans covered up. That is huge, because if you have to stop, I mean, you should always have your gas tank at least half full at a minimum, and in the winter, probably full tank. But you had extra gas, so you didn't have to stop. I mean, it you could be at a gas station for 4 hours if there's like a mass exodus happening. I mean, I stopped at a gas station coming back from Baltimore, going back to Boston, Mass, a few years ago during Thanksgiving weekend, and you would have thought it was the end of the world, Mark. And it was just because it was Thanksgiving weekend. I can't imagine. I turned to my wife, I'm like, what would happen if the grid was down? This is nothing. It's just a holiday. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We keep about 30 gallons on hand. So.
That's a good chunk of gas right there.
And so that's, you know, that can get us out of, definitely get us out of Florida. Oh, and we never get lower than, we never get lower than a quarter tank. We see it, when it hits that quarter tank, we top off. And then those gas cans, I rotate those out every 6 months and put fuel stabilizer in it and all of that.
Right.
And so, you know, when the storm came, because by the time everybody had figured out, hey, you know, this thing might hit us, the generators were already gone, the gas cans were already gone, you know, the run on the groceries hadn't started yet, but those things were, you know, a Home Depot or a Lowe's might have 5 or 10 generators, It just takes a couple of guys to, you know, one person could buy all five, you know, and if they've got 100 gas tanks, if they've got 100 gas cans in stock at each store and five people come in and buy four each, they're gone. So that's not something that they have, that's not stocked up for. They don't have a huge storeroom. What you see there is what you get. And then when they sell those, then they put in an order and the truck comes in 3 or 4 days later and restocks
just
in those.
Just-in-time shipping,
So
just-in-time shipping, exactly.
That's not stuff you can buy when you need it. You buy it. It's like auto insurance. You know, you buy it before you have the wreck or you don't buy it at all. So, And if we had an event, you know, the gas could be gone anyway to where you wouldn't be able to fill up the cans anyway. So you got to buy the cans, keep them full, put stabilizer in them, and make sure they're not anywhere where they're going to be a fire hazard.
Right. A show you could do in the future is on gas versus diesel. I would love to get one of my goals. I'd love to get a diesel truck for the sole thing that, for a myriad of reasons, but diesel, you could theoretically keep it for years, whereas gas can only last for, I think, 9 months to a year max. I just like that, having that cushion that you could have, you know, an oil tank in your house that's number two diesel in it, and that could potentially be your backup fuel if you needed it. So it's just, I'm kind of a truck geek anyway, so.
Yeah, and diesel, there's, you know, if in a post-apocalyptic situation, you can run, you know, you can run it on motor oil, jet fuel. Yeah. You can drain used motor oil. If everybody's car is parked on the side of the road, you could drain the used motor oil out of it. If you knew that it wasn't synthetic, I guess if you're a real motorhead, you're going to probably be able to look at used motor oil and tell you if it's synthetic or not. But I don't know. What if it's a blend? I don't know. So I wouldn't want to do that unless it was my absolute last resort.
Yeah, I agree.
But it'll run on jet fuel. Jet fuel is very, very similar to diesel. Corn oil.
And if you had to stop for gas, the lines are going to be down the road for gas. But generally, the diesel lines aren't that long. So that's another benefit
and
as well.
Diesel engines are much, much more reliable, and they last. You know, you get a half a
I
million
like the
miles
old
on
diesels.
It.
Yeah, and the old diesels too. A lot of them will be probably EMP proof. A lot of the old, like early '90s, '80s diesels as well.
Yeah,
but again, it's fun. It's fun to war game this stuff to talk about it. I hope it never happens. But
oh yeah, absolutely. Back to the bug out bag. The people that got that, if there would have been a tsunami, the people that left first would be the only ones that would have lived to tell about it. So, recommendation out there for folks, if you keep a flash drive that's got all your important documents, that you should have that. You should have a flash drive that has all of your important documents scanned onto it. And, that might be something you want to keep in a safe along with your valuables. You know, if you keep gold coins or, you know, some cash, I think it's a really good idea to keep a good chunk of cash outside of the banking system, because I think that's a risk that people just aren't paying attention to. Because there's so many things. Ted Koppel's book Lights Out, and they could shut down the banking system and that would be it. And we don't know how long it could be gone, and if it's shut down, they're probably not taking credit cards, and if there's anything open and anybody selling anything, it's going to be cash and cash only. So either you have the cash or you don't. And if you're keeping a good wad of cash around the house, you know, that probably needs to be in a safe, and you probably don't want that in your bug out bag. So maybe a good idea is to keep your bug out bag right next to your safe. So if you've got a boogie, you know, it's all your valuables aren't in the bug out bag, but it's just a matter of opening the safe, grabbing it, sticking it in the bug out bag, closing the safe, spinning the dial, and walking out the door. And being one of the first people out, one of the first people on the roads, and get in the fast lane and punch it and get out of there. Because it's bad to get in gridlock, and you're not going to get out, and you're going to get in a worse situation than if you would have just stayed home if you're one of the laggards.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not even like a tinfoil hat thing anymore. I mean, this is a realistic scenario. You were in a realistic scenario in Florida where you got hit by a massive hurricane and you had to implement an exit strategy. I mean, this is not just for preppers or for tinfoil hat people anymore. This is like real life. You know, church shootings happen all the time. You need to have situational awareness, even in church. You need to have situational awareness when you're out to dinner. You need to worry about, you know, not worry, but you need to be aware of everything now. And it's not theoretical anymore.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Yeah, and you just talked about church shootings, and we just had another school shooting today, the day that we're recording this in Western Kentucky. So maybe that's another good reason to get your kids out of the public school, even if you don't mind being taught atheism and homosexuality and transgenderism.
Yeah, and these stories don't even make the front headlines anymore. It's so common now. We've become so
complacent. It's just a little flash.
Did you hear there's another church shooting today? Did you hear there's another school shooting today? It's like no big deal. And like these are people's lives that are ending, and people need to wake up. I think the church is I've been screaming for years about this, but I think churches are finally starting to wake up. I don't think there should ever be a church shooting ever again, because all you need to do is have a scenario in place, even if it's just find a police officer that attends your church and have them sit in the back and carry. I mean, if someone came into our church, they would get blasted. Our church, I think, is okay. But I'm just saying, like, churches should be awake now after all these shootings, and they need to put a process in place. My old church back in Boston, I was hounding these guys for years. I'm like, just do something. And finally, as I was leaving, I think they did do something. But I was just like, it's not rocket science. You don't need to, like, overanalyze it. Have a couple of the elders who are legally able to carry sit in the back row. Have an off-duty police officer who goes to church sit in the back row. End of story. Like, it's not rocket science. So as far as I'm concerned, there should never be a church shooting in this country again, because there should be something in place. But that's just frustration talking.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Hawaiians had a big scare a few weeks back. They got an alert over their state's emergency warning system that said an ICBM was incoming.
Yeah.
This went on for about 38 minutes before they got the alert that it was a false alarm. So you had people calling their families on the mainland to say goodbye. I saw videos of people that were just, you know, distraught. One was a little boy that was crying because his dad had went to, you know, was going to look for a job, and he was crying because he wasn't going to get to die with his dad. I mean, it was really, really terrifying stuff. You know, if it's an ICBM, if you're in ground zero, you just need to be ready to meet your maker. You need to make sure that you've confessed everything you need to confess, that you're living the kind of life that you want to you want to be living. Because we're all going to meet him, and we're all going to stand face to face, and we're all going to be called to account. You know, the blood of Jesus is our ticket in, but you got to bring your own spending money. So, you know, are you living the kind of life that's going to affect eternity? Are you going to have the kind of eternity that you want to have? Because eternity is a long time. 150 million years is a long time. That's just a scratch of eternity. And, but other than being ready to meet your maker, I think a good lesson from that ICBM alert is, you know, get your iodine, because if you're at ground zero, nothing's going to really help you except a bomb shelter that's three stories underground. And if you've got that, you know, glory, hallelujah. Most of us don't have the wherewithal to make those type of preparations. But if you're farther away, there are a few things you can do. You can duct tape plastic around your windows to keep out excess radiation. You can make sure you've got iodine stocked. The iodine pills are, you know, they're pre-portioned out to where you know exactly how many to take. What iodine does is it mitigates the amount of radiation that your thyroid
will absorb.
Right. But I think the iodine drops are great too because you know you've got the dropper. You get a lot more than if you're buying the little pop out sheet of iodine. It's easier to store because it's you're storing a whole lot more of it because it's going to be a prolonged event. That radiation is going to be around for a while, especially if you're somewhere where where there's a nuclear reactor. If there's leakage like a Fukushima thing, you know, you've got radiation all the time. Those folks need to be taking iodine regularly every day for years, you know, and I think most studies show that most of us are iodine deficient anyway, so it's it's a good thing almost to be taken on anyway, but especially something to have on hand.
Right. I keep both on hand, and iodine, I think you're right. I think most of us are iodine deficient, and I think that's a good idea, or just not, and also not live in Hawaii on an island. That's also good, too. At least you want to be somewhere you can drive if possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people had no choice. They were like shooting fish in a barrel. They couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
You just take a motorboat and go somewhere. Like, it's nothing you can do.
You know, maybe you could get to the other side of the island if you're on the populated side. If you can get to the other side, maybe that gives you a chance. I don't know, because you've got the whole big mountain in between you and the blast. I don't know, but it'd be a bad situation.
That whole scenario was just unfortunate. I felt so bad for the people there. I was watching people on the news sticking their children in the sewer system to try and protect them.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my gosh, what type of world are we living in? This is amazing.
And
it wouldn't surprise me if that knucklehead from North Korea did something like this too. I mean, he's so crazy, but I don't know. He's so fat and gluttonous. I can't see him doing anything that would change his lifestyle, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he would be crazy enough to do something like that.
Yeah, you just don't know what you don't know what he thinks. You don't know what his you know, he's sort of worshipped as a god. And you know, Peter Vincent Price, he's the nuclear strategist for the CIA, and he's been on the show a couple times. And you know, his theory is that, you know, he's been treated like a god. He's the third generation totalitarian regime, and he's lost all concept of reality, and you know he may not be making rational decisions, and his what he does may not have anything to do with reality, and it may not affect how his decision tree. So we don't really know. He's a loose cannon at best.
He is a loose cannon. I mean, that is just an evil regime over there, what they're doing to people. Tens of millions of people have died under that. And they're considered they used to refer to themselves as the first atheist regime, but no one ever makes movies about that or talks about that or, you know, talks about the tens of millions of people that have died over there, because it's, you know, not in their wheelhouse. They want to, you know, they want to make fun of Christians instead.
Yeah, and that whole North Korea thing kind of pokes a hole in the prosperity gospel too, doesn't it? Because
those
people have got faith. They've got real faith, and it's not affecting their bank account whatsoever.
Absolutely. I read about people in the Middle East, Africa, North Korea, and what those Christian, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are going through, and it's crazy. And prosperity gospel is not applicable.
And,
that's for sure.
And regardless,
I heard the Christians in Asia are praying for Christians in the United States to be persecuted, so we'll up our faith because we've become so complacent over here. And I kind of don't blame them.
That's the purge. That's the thing that purges the wheat from the chaff. You know, I don't want it. I don't want to get purged. But man, you know, I can't blame, like you said, I can't blame them for praying that. They're thinking about the other side, and we're, you know, I think a lot about this side, about, you know, my lifestyle and how I want things to be for my daughter and all that kind of thing here, you know, but I think a lot about the other side as well. And I'm trying to, you know, make sure I get a good retirement account over there and those kinds of things. But, you know, I'm not, and I know that it would wake a lot of my brothers and sisters up and get a lot of them out of their out of their complacency. And then I know it would purge out a lot of people that are just chaff that aren't going to make it anyway. And it would have a huge purifying effect on the American church, and we probably need it. And well, we definitely need it, but I just, man. And I think it's probably coming. It doesn't matter. I think their prayer is probably going to get answered. I would imagine that Trump will be the last, you know, I'm not the hugest Trump fan in the world, and I think everybody knows that, but he's such a much better pick than what we could have ended up with. And I think the pendulum is going to swing so far left next time. I think it's going to really smack some people upside the head. And
I'm afraid you're right. I just hope, I think the best, and this is kind of pessimistic, but I think what people are going to become complacent, you know, the Dow's at 26,000, Trump, that's going to fix everything. And the left said that about Obama. And I think the best we can hope for with Trump is just that he's going to buy us some time, you know, to prepare and to just, you know, get out of the matrix, get your kids out of school, like get, you know, I think that's the best we can hope for. Yep. Evil, I tell my wife this all the time, evil does not sleep. You defeat it one way, it'll rear its head in another way. I mean, think about Planned Parenthood. If Trump was able to put them out of business today, 5 years from now, they'd rear their head some other way. And that doesn't mean you don't keep fighting, but evil doesn't sleep. And, you know, this is not the time to sit back and put your hands behind your head and say, you know, the good times are here. Hopefully, we get some peacetime and Christian persecution is eased, you know, and we get time. But I just don't see... Yeah, like you said, the pendulum's probably going to swing the other way, and it's going to swing hard. And once it does, you know, if, like you said, maybe a Texas goes blue or some other states go blue, I mean, go Democrat, it'll never go back, ever go back. And we'll all be living in Chicago.
Yeah, you can't
which is basically post-apocalyptic.
You can't have another Republican president without Texas. You can't get to 270 without them.
Yeah, and the left knows that, too. Uh-huh. And the other thing with Trump is he's got the media against him. He's got the Democrats against him. He's got the majority of the Republicans against him, too, a bunch of all those rhinos who were basically, in my book, Democrats. So,
sure, yeah.
You know, although he has, you know, the Congress, he has the House, he's got the White House, but he really doesn't. He really doesn't. If you did the real numbers, like Lindsey Graham, he's really a Democrat. John McCain, he's really a Democrat. You know, you have these Republicans that are really Democrats. So if you do the real numbers, he really doesn't have everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
John's been joke so... with my wife. We have a governor up in Massachusetts who's a Republican. I said, you know, the joke is, what do you call a Republican in Massachusetts? You call him a Democrat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. John, thank you so much for making time for us today. You've given us a lot of interesting stuff to think about. Tell us one more time, these two new books, tell us the names, tell us where folks can get them.
So it's the Mission Trip series. It's three books in the series, Mission Trip, Genesis and Exodus. And then there's a novella called Clark as well. They can get them Amazon.com, JohnTheo.com. But before I go, Mark, I just want to say, and I meant to say this the last time I was on, I'm a writer who got into prepping, and I've read a lot of prepper fiction out there, and I've realized that a lot of the prepper fiction will be trying to teach lessons, and they kind of sacrifice some of the writing style and this and that to get the message across. But I wanted to say on air that your books are phenomenal, and that your writing style is phenomenal. The character development, story arcs, everything are just top notch, and I just wanted to make sure I say that on air. I was so mad at myself I didn't say that last time. I really enjoyed Days of Elijah, and keep up the good work, Mark.
John, thank you so much. That's a real honor to hear that from you, because like I said, your writing is just fantastic. And Clark, I really highly recommend that to everybody. Just a fantastic twist on that character arc is just. Blew me away. It was fantastic. Oh, so I really, and that one's only 99 cents. So I really hope folks will check that one out. That'll give them a little taste of what you're about. And then after that, I think they're all going to want to go read everything in the Mission Trip series.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
The Days of Elijah, Book 4, The Seventh Vial, by bestselling author Mark Goodwin, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. The ultimate battle, which will decide the fate of heaven and earth, has finally come. Everett and Courtney Carroll have fared better than most through the past 7 years of the Great Tribulation. But the eve of Armageddon refuses to let them live out the last hours of this present age without conflict, trouble, and persistent peril. The Bible has prophesied of the 7 vials of God's wrath, the final judgments which will utterly destroy what's left of a decimated planet. These calamities will bring a plague of festering boils upon the followers of the Antichrist. Rivers and seas will turn to blood, and a global earthquake will raise the cities of the earth to the ground. All of this in the midst of the war to end all wars. It won't be the first time they've been trapped between a rock and a hard place, but it might be the last. Don't miss the final chapter of this end times sensation. Get your copy from Amazon.com today.